Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
I appreciate so much what's gone before, and if I don't do any preaching at all or say anything of value, we've already heard some wonderful things of value. Appreciate it so much. I have a subject on my mind, and I hope somehow the Lord ties it in with both of what's gone before. The subject that I have is not taught very much in the Old Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, for a long, long time, it wasn't even mentioned. And that's evangelism. Until recently, you probably didn't hear that word much in the Old Baptist Church. I would ask us a question here at Harmony Church. Are we an evangelical church? Should we be an evangelical church? The answer to that, in my past years, would have been no to both of those questions, simply because of the connotation that evangelical church lends itself to in this religious world today. In today's religious world, most of the churches that are considered evangelical, outside of the Old Baptist Church, churches that are evangelical, most of the churches today, they're not. That are considered evangelical, they're not. I'm going to give you a reason why. That sounds like a bold statement and a brash statement that I would make, but I believe I can make it with surety. The word evangelism, of course, you know me, if you've known me very long, I love words. I love to look at a word and see what the definition is at the time that it was used in Scripture. The word evangelism, evangelical, evangelist, evangelize, the root word of that is evangel. E-V-A-N-G-E-L. Defined as the true message. Good news. Included with that is the gospel record and a doctrine or principle of saving efficacy. Now, I know that's a long definition. But if the church is not putting forth a true message, or the speaker, TV evangelist, or whoever the so-called evangelical churches are, if they're not putting forth a true message, the good news, glad tidings, then they're not evangelical.
That's right.
See, I grew up with a misconception of evangelism, evangelic, that I thought you had to be out there, first of all, in a foreign country or something, promoting Jesus Christ. And that's true. That's a part of a form of evangelism. But if I'm not out there putting forth glad tidings, the good news, then I'm not being evangelical. I wrote this down so we can see that to be evangelical, we must have the truth, the correct message. And that's why I say if we consider that term and that definition, most of the churches today in this religious world in Christianity are not evangelical. Brother Dan touched on that. The reason being, they do put forth a works doctrine. For a body of people, the Lord's church, to be evangelical, here's the standard. By definition, believers who hold, listen, believers who hold that the essence of the gospel, the meaning of the gospels, consists in the doctrine of salvation by faith in the atoning death of Christ. Now, if I stop right there with the definition, a lot of churches it would apply to, wouldn't it? There is nearly All of Christianity believes in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. But as Brother Dan stated, they want to add something right after that, right after the atoning death of Christ. Here's the definition in its entirety. Believers who hold that the essence of the gospel consists in the doctrine of salvation by faith in the atoning death of Christ and deny the saving efficacy of either good works or the sacraments. Isn't that something? That tells us what it takes to be evangelical, right? Can't just believe in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. We must deny any works or the sacraments. That's an and there in that definition. Now let's turn to the Word of God. The word evangelist, by the way, only appears in the Bible three times. Acts 21:8, Timothy 4 and 5, Ephesians 4 and 11. Though it appears only three times, a form of the word evangel, which is evangelist, is the only form that appears in the Bible. Though it only appears three times, it is taught throughout the entirety of the Bible, evangelism. If you would, turn to Acts 21:8. We'll start there real quick to see where the word was first used. In verse 8 it says, "In the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was the first seven deacons of the church at Jerusalem." That's what that's referring to. "And abode with him." So they abode at Paul's house, at Philip's house. This is the same Philip. I want you to back up in Acts now, all the way to chapter 8. This is the same Philip. I want to look at how Philip got the term, how he got the moniker or was termed as the evangelist. We'll do a little reading here. I'm going to start with chapter 8, verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Imagine that. Angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." One thing I want us to notice here, he told him to get up and leave his home. Jerusalem was where he was at. Jerusalem was comfortable for Philip. That was his home. And now the angel of the Lord is telling him, you need to get up and go to Gaza, which is in the desert. Can you imagine that? What'd Philip do? He didn't question, did he? Let's read on. "And he arose and went." That's what Philip did. He arose and went. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet," Isaiah, the Old Testament. Remember now, they didn't have anything but the Old Testament at this time. And here's this eunuch sitting in Candace's chariot. And I thought of this, you know, for years, and you probably thought about it the same way. I pictured Philip standing next to a chariot, you know, or headed towards this chariot. And it's the chariot that I had always pictured was a war chariot, you know, like you'd see in the movies and the gladiator type stuff. That's not what this chariot was. This was, for lack of a better way for me to describe it, like a big wagon. This probably had some of the treasures of Eunice, the queen of Ethiopia, in it. So this wasn't just a little war chariot that this eunuch was sitting in. It says, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So we have the angel spake to him, told him to get up and go. So he goes down to Gaza in the desert, leaves Jerusalem. Now the Spirit's telling him, he sees this chariot. Now the Spirit's telling him, go near and join thyself to this chariot. In other words, make your presence known to whoever's in that chariot. And Philip, what's he do? He just kind of saunters on down over there to the chariot. He had an urgency. It says he ran thither to him. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, ask him a question. Understand thou what thou readest? What's the eunuch say? How can I except some man should guide me? The word guide there is very important. See, this eunuch had never had anybody tell him, I gather, about what the scriptures meant. But this eunuch was a child of God, wasn't he? He was wanting to understand something about what these scriptures were telling, and he was confused. We'll get to that. But the point here is, he knew he needed guidance. And had Philip not gone, y'all listen now, had Philip not gone, listen to the angel, and I pray that God would give us, each and every one of us, the grace to understand when an angel speaks to us, and secondly, the strength to go and do what the angel says, or the Spirit that moves you. Had Philip not gone, here's a child of God that wouldn't have understood what Philip's about to explain to him and guide him in those scriptures. And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led. Here's why it would be confusing to someone who's never heard the gospel preached or never had explanations given. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? He didn't know. He didn't understand. Of himself? Or of some other man? I believe that there are a lot of God's children that don't understand, that aren't guided in the Word of God. That's where evangelism plays a huge part in whether we're going to be an evangelical church. And I hope we'll get to a point where we should be. If we're not, we should be an evangelical church. I don't care what the connotation is of that. I'm telling you what God's Word says about evangelism. Amen. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Took the very same scripture that that eunuch had read in Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. What an amazing thing. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you think that this eunuch, without the guidance of Philip, would have believed, even known about Jesus Christ? I don't know what all Philip preached to him. But obviously he preached enough to him to know, for this eunuch to know and understand who his Savior was and who it was that was led to the slaughter.
Amen.
And he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. You know, as I was reading this, we've been hearing a wonderful over the last 8, 9, 10 weeks that Brother Sonny has spoken to us, wonderful sermons on our articles of faith. And we've here recently been talk about the sacraments, the baptism. This backs up what Brother Sonny preached to us. They went down into the water. We don't believe in sprinkling, do we? They went down into the water, both of them. The preacher and the object went down into the water. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. I don't know how far Philip had traveled. But here's some traveling he didn't have to worry about. The Spirit caught him away. The eunuch saw him no more. You know, I think sometimes if we'll do, if God gives us the grace to understand what the angel has said to us, or the Spirit, and the strength to do it, we'll find out that journey is not so long and tedious when we get to the end of it. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, the eunuch, went away rejoicing. Now I ask you, did the message that Philip delivered to that eunuch, was it glad tidings?
Amen.
Was it the truth?
Yeah.
Whew. I'm telling you, he preached the gospel to him.
Amen.
And you're right, brother, it delivered that eunuch. In more ways than one. And then it says, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I don't know how far that was. I'm sure we could get a map. Look at Gaza, look at Jerusalem, wherever Gaza was in the desert, and then now all the way to Caesarea. I don't even know if I need to be going this way or this way. Doesn't matter. The point is, Philip, the evangelist, listened to the angel, got up and went, was moved by the Spirit, joined himself to that chariot, taught the eunuch, and the eunuch was baptized, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and was baptized and went away joyfully when they parted. I thank God for Philip the Evangelist, and I think he sets a great example for all of us, by the way. And I want y'all to understand, first and foremost, evangelism isn't only restricted to the men who fill the pulpit. I hope to get to it. Evangelism, we're all involved in. I've heard some preachers here recently say that the best evangelists are the members sitting in the pews. They're the best evangelists. All right, let's move on. Let's go to 2 Timothy. It's not the second time that it appears. The second time it appears, the word evangelist appears is in Ephesians. But we're going to skip over here to Timothy and hopefully get back to Ephesians and wrap it up there. Here in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is giving charge to a young preacher. Now we'll just start here in the fourth chapter at the very first verse. What I want is later on. He says, I charge thee, therefore, remember, this is instruction to Timothy. his son in the ministry. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He makes this statement to Timothy. Here's why. Here's why you need to do those things. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, as Brother Dan said, our carnal nature, even though we know better, our carnal nature wants something to do. They want to have a hand in this salvation. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to be tickled. They want to hear those things that suit them, not what the Word of God actually teaches. And then they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth. And shall be turned unto fables. Turn back to fables. Like that one, though. I mean, you can consider, after the New Testament age, after Christ bore the penalty that each and every one of us justly, by the way, deserved, anything prior to that can now be considered a fable, like circumcision. Then he says, but watch thou in all things. And this is what Brother Sonny was talking about in the year past and the year to come. He tells this young preacher, endure afflictions. Because he doesn't say, if afflictions come, endure them, does he? Paul knows for this young minister that afflictions are coming. And he tells Timothy, endure afflictions. And then he says, do the work of an evangelist. And I'm paraphrasing here. He says, make full proof of thy ministry. If you're not doing those things, Timothy, you're not proving your ministry. And then he goes on to say, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The point here is that he's encouraging and telling Timothy, you must do the work of an evangelist to prove the full work of thy ministry. What better way than for a preacher, especially, to be evangelizing than to prove his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, testifying of what the Lord has done for him and continues to do for him, and preaching a successful Savior, the truth. Nothing added to it. Remember now what the root word is. It has to be the truth. Evangel has to be the truth. Denying any works and the sacraments. Now let's back up now to the third and time that the word or any part of evangel shows up. And that's in the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter. And I want you to remember now, we're not addressing a minister in this letter, are we? Paul is writing this letter to the whole church at Ephesus. He writes this letter to the whole church. I'm going to read through quickly, starting in the very first chapter, and what I want is 11 through 15, but It's always a hard place to start. He says, Paul in chapter 4 of the Ephesian letter says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Remember that. Forbearing one another in love. Now this is a church he's talking to. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm sure these two brethren could preach sermon after sermon just on those first three verses. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See how he's including everyone there at Ephesus? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us. Letting that sink in. Every one of us. Not Brother Sonny and Brother Dan. Every one of us. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Here's the verse. And he gave some apostles, and some, which there are no more, they're gone, they ceased. And some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Don't get thrown off by the perfecting of the saints there. We're not going to be perfect. No matter how much preaching these two brethren do for us and how much the Lord leads them to teach us, we're not going to walk out of here one Sunday being finally perfect. That ain't going to happen. But I'll tell you what will happen. We'll be more mature. That's what that word means there. We're going to be more mature in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Equipping us is another term for that word perfecting there. Equipping us with not only the things that we can fight off some of the temptations in the world, but equipping us to be able to, what? Yeah, everybody say it, evangelize. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till when? I don't know that this is going to happen, but till we all come in the unity of the faith. That all there is speaking to us. That's us. Every one of us sitting in these pews. The unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we, why? Henceforth be no more children. Indicative of some growing up. Huh? Did you know that if we evangelize, see, we have a misconception, like I said a while ago. We have a misconception, I think, of evangelism. That it's outside of our borders. And it is. That's a form of evangelism outside of these four walls. I'm finding out right here that we can evangelize one to another. If I'm evangelizing, and there are those that were once children and are maturing and growing up and they're no longer children, what do you think they're going to be doing? If I'm setting the right example, guess what? They're going to be evangelizing. And you know what that does? That strengthens the body of Christ, the church. Spiritually, most importantly, well, I'll tell you this, numerically also. It'll increase numbers, in other words. And if we're doing it with the right motive, the Lord will add increase to the church. But I'm telling you, if we're evangelizing just to increase numbers, you can forget the blessing in that. If that's our reason, he's going to touch on it here in just a minute. If that's our reason to increase numbers, we not be doing it. We shouldn't be doing it. We ought not to be doing it. So we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, because they're out there. How many, I'd hate to guess, how many doctrines are out there? How many different forms of doctrines? They take on a life of themselves. As the brother stated earlier, you start with this, and before you know it, there is a litany. About with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Now, I've heard horror stories in the past, not so much here lately, and maybe it's because I'm not paying attention, but I've heard horror stories and believe a lot of them to be true of how many elderly folks that can't make it to church that turn on the TV, tune in to a TV evangelist on Sunday morning, have been taken to the cleaners, lost everything they have. And that TV evangelist wasn't an evangelist at all. He didn't have the truth. Because he convinced those, it may have not just been the elderly, could happen to a lot of people. He convinced them that if they would do thus and so, they would receive riches here and obtain a seat in heaven with our Lord eternally. That's the craftiness.
Right.
That's the sleight of men. They lie in wait to deceive.
That's right.
But he's telling them not do that, but do this. Speaking the truth, how? In love. Amen. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I'm telling you, brethren and sisters, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to honor Him, we must be evangelical. We must, each and every one of us, evangelize as often and as long as we can. You know, we here at Harmony, we do evangelism. We have a church in the Philippines that we support monetarily. And in communication, our pastor talks with that pastor on the phone. And I hope that we also evangelize with that church in a sense that each and every one of us think to pray for them and for the furtherance of the gospel in a foreign land. I've heard wonderful stories about the churches in the Philippines and how spiritual they are. I believe if we want to experience, as the brother called for, revival, if we want to experience a spiritual revival, it's going to take us doing evangelism, being evangelists, not necessarily as Philip was. Philip went to a far country, left his home. But as Paul exhorts the church at Ephesus to be, I think we can do that. Remember, it's not just those that fill the stand that are to be evangelists. You and I are too. I hope this has been a blessing.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.